Blog Talk Radio.
Come shine your light, open your heart, show us your gift that sets you apart. When you believe, then you can see that you are the star of your own.
Hi, and welcome to the Honoring Hour. Today is March 23rd, and this is our one-year anniversary show. We've actually been on the air on Blog Talk for 1 year. I'm super, super excited about that. Just wanted to let anybody know that's in the chat room, I'm using Firefox today, and I can't put the chat room up beside this. It kind of, I have to flip back and forth, so if you type in something, just hang in there. I'll be shuffling back and forth. Before we get on to today's show, I just wanted to mention that we are doing a raffle, and I started off raffling this reading as an anniversary gift, just something to put out there, something special to do for the anniversary show, with doing a half-hour reading with me, which also qualifies you. If you submit, you can also qualify, if your name doesn't get drawn for anything, to have a half-off reading that's done anytime between now and or the drawing, excuse me, and the end of May is what I'm going to do. So if you don't get the reading in the drawing or you don't get any, it doesn't matter. If you don't get the reading in the drawing, you still qualify. Even if you do get the reading in the drawing, you still qualify for a half-hour reading later, which is giftable. You can turn around and gift that out. Some of the prizes that we are having raffled as well, because we've had some wonderful people donate some things. Elka Vera is donating a coaching session. Excuse me, my voice is starting to crack. And you can check her out at elkavera.com. She's going to be one of our guests in May. Sabina Kvinberg, who you just heard reach for the stars, she has donated her CD, The Bigger Picture. Chris James, you can find him at chrisjames.net. He's also another wonderful singer-songwriter that's going to be on here. We haven't worked out a firm date. Chris is from Australia, and he's traveling a lot, so we're trying to work out something that may actually be a recorded show. I'm going to be giving away one of Jeff Brown's books, Soul Shaping, one of Susa Scalora's books, Evidence of Angels, one of Matthew Tell Me About Heaven, which is Suzanne Ward's book, and a couple of other different things. So please check that out. You can go to the main website, www.thehonoringhour.com, and you can check out the raffle there. It's $1 per ticket, or $5 for 6 tickets, or $10 for 15 tickets. So that's quite a deal. And then, you know, as many times as your name gets drawn, you know, we're going to put your name in there that many times, and you can win multiple prizes. It's not a one-time only deal. So our next show, April 6th, we're going to have Kate Mucci on here talking about the ancient code of tones. And Kate gifted me a song of my own for my birthday. She plays the harp, and she develops that wonderful, wonderful music. I've been meditating with it, and it's definitely making a huge difference. So you won't want to miss the April 6th show. But for today, I am really excited about our show today. We have Melinda Furch on here talking to us about transforming our lives with flower essences. And I really, really like flower essences. They're nice and gentle for me. They work well with my energy system. So I'm really fond of them. I'm very happy to have Melinda on here. I met Melinda a couple years ago when I was teaching a class, and Melinda's just got such a gentle and pure soul, and she reminds me of a flower herself. So let's welcome to the show Melinda Furch. How are you doing, Melinda?
Hey, I'm doing really well. Happy it's spring and the flowers are coming up.
Oh, I'm sure. Melinda, can you tell us a little bit more about your professional background and your work with flower essences?
Mm-hmm. I started using flower essences in 1981, and I literally stumbled into them in a homeopath's office when I was there to get some help. And at that time, he had in his office the classic box center question list, which can go through all of the Bach flowers on it and asks you questions about yourself. And at that time, I picked up that list and I read that list of flowers and I thought, oh my goodness, what do? I can check off yes answers to needing every single flower. And so I put it down and I didn't look at it or think about flower essences for a while after that until a friend of mine handed me a book. And that book was a book that included The 12 Healers and Other Remedies by Dr. Bach and a couple of other writings. And again, I kind of thumbed through the book and then I put it down. And then years later, I sat in the backyard of my house in Silver Spring, and it was a very, there wasn't much yard. It was a circle of stones, and in that circle, there were all these little green blades of what I thought were grass pushing up. So one spring day, I sat out there, and those blades of grass actually, amongst them, were blooming with beautiful star-shaped flowers. And I sat there, and I felt so good with those flowers. In fact, I began to cry. And I felt peaceful, and I felt comforted, and I thought, geez, I wonder what this flower is. And that's what started me into really looking at flowers and pick up books again and began to formally study them. And in fact, I learned that that flower in my yard, which was mostly cement, was Star of Bethlehem. And Star of Bethlehem is one of the key Bach flowers that is a flower that taught me and can teach all of us about knowing and being in touch with our own personal star, literally. And let's see. I began at that point reading very specifically about flower essences, just picking up books, picking up that original book. I got that list out. I began to explore remedies for myself and began talking with people about that. And then in the 1990s, I decided that I wanted to get some formal training. And I had also come across a number of other flower essences besides the Bach flowers, but decided to study the Bach flowers because I thought I wanted a really good base in the flowers that are primarily used in the West, which are the Bach flowers, and they're the most well-known and easy to find, and were the most easy to find at that time. So I studied with the Bach Society in England and did all my training through them, and I'm certified as a Bach Flower Registered Practitioner. And then the other organization I studied with is the Flower Essence Society. And the Flower Essence Society is in California, and I've been through their variety of programs.
Great. Wow. So there's some pretty extensive training through Bach. It took you a while, I guess.
Mm-hmm. It took several years, and it also involved, 3, 4, 5 case studies and writing papers and traveling to learn, traveling to work with different teachers. So, yeah, it was very, very specific. And their goal is to have each practitioner really know the plants, so that in knowing the plants really well, you, in listening to a person who is seeking help, you can hear very clearly and very specifically what flower will most specifically speak to their concern. And that's the best way to use flower essences. You can't go wrong with them, but they are more effective when you choose a plant as precisely as possible to match what a person is emanating, essentially, through their concerns.
Mm. Now, how do flower essences work? I mean, what's the premise behind that?
Well, in terms, do you mean by the physical? Is there a physical response or a?
Yeah, let's start there. I mean, I'm a little bit more familiar with it, but yeah, is there a physical response? Because that may be somebody that's completely unfamiliar may want to know that.
Actually, I would say yes, in the sense that it's very subtle and vibrational in quality. So it's not something, though, that you could measure in terms of blood pressure or content within the body. But yes, there is what I would call a vibrational change, but difficult to quantify.
Mm-hmm. And they work on vibrations. I mean, like when you're making them, they shift your vibration. Is that how that works?
The best analogy I can, I've read things that say things something like they stimulate your consciousness. Or to me, a good analogy to kind of grasp this is to say that you listen to a piece of music, and we all know how music can shift our perception. Mm-hmm. It can shift our mood. It can shift our level of tension. It can shift the way we are thinking. So that's one way I can use to describe the impact of a flower essence within our being. I also think of them as holographic, in that you are taking in the imprint, essentially, of a flower, which is a plant's highest expression. And that expression is a culmination of many forces: fire, the sun, water, earth, and I'm going to forget the fourth, so I may have to go back to that, and air. So that holograph or that imprint, essentially when you're taking a flower essence, to me, you're inviting that imprint into your being. And that being, or that essence of a being, which is that flower, is interacting with your being. And some people have said it's like if you were a musical instrument, that that holograph, in this sense, is awakening that resonance within you, that sound, that tone, that color, that essence within you. So that's another way I can describe flower essences. Interaction with our being.
Okay. Now, when you were sitting out in your backyard and you were looking at that flower, did it speak to you? Because wasn't Bach? I haven't read a whole lot about Bach. I mean, mm-hmm. And when I did, it was a while back. But didn't he kind of start speaking to them? And
well, you
and
know,
they were communicating back. I mean, how did?
Yeah. Well, he. All of this is surmised. Bach didn't write about his process. He did have two people who worked with him for a long period of time, Nora Weeks and Victor Buhlen, and they worked very closely with him. And the things they have said about his process also are very limited. I think in some ways, I think that really honors Bach, because he was all about simplicity and not breaking things down into minutia in any way, and kind of getting away, although he was very much a left-brain person. I mean, he was a trained physician, and he could think in those ways. His system of healing was all about, and I think it's fair to say that he had an intuitive process. And it has been written that when he went out into, he was really worried about the increasing industrialization of England just after World War I. And he was concerned about technology and urbanization and the impact that that would have on human beings. And so he really wanted to find a system of healing that brought the element of nature into that work. And he was familiar with homeopathy, so he knew about plants and being used in a vibrational style. And so from that knowledge, he was clearly, we think he was inspired to, and his desire to address humankind in relation to technology and urbanization, he went to find his answers in nature. And he did walk through through woods, fields, all kinds of natural places in England, and tuned in, essentially. I don't know that the plants literally spoke with him. There's nothing written about that. But he was very much an empath. I think it's fair to say that. He was somebody who could use his senses to tune in and, in quotes, know something or another being. And I think he came to know the plants. And he was looking very specifically to address specific emotional states. And my best guess would be, and the things that I've seen written, were that he, through his process of intuiting and sensing, felt the plant's impact on his own being. And it is written that as he did more and more of this work and got more and more clear about what he was doing, when he went out specifically looking for a plant for a specific state, he went out in that state, in a state of fear, in a state of loneliness, and felt plants address that state within his own being, and thus made a choice of a plant to use for a flower essence. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And
okay.
I know in having conversations with you, you know, like I hear you say the plants are saying, or, you know, like you just use that lingo, which I completely, that's my verbiage. I get that. So,
right.
When you were sitting out there in your yard, what were you feeling? I mean, like, what were some of the things that, I mean, I know obviously you were crying, so there was a lot of emotion going on, but.
Yeah.
Like, how do you feel that and.
I was really sad at the time. I was in a new, relatively new house. I'd lived prior to that on Sligo Creek, which is a very wooded area, on an apartment that only opened its windows all along the park and the stream below. I only had one window that opened to a parking lot and a building across the street, and I had moved to a house in Silver Spring. It was a really pretty house, but the yard didn't exist. It was basically either a parking pad or this circle of stones in the back that had what I thought was grass. And my next door neighbors had a lawn, but that was, you know, separated away by a fence, and there was a few trees around. But basically, my world had really changed. And I was also really near Montgomery College, lots of students driving around it. You know, I'd kind of gone from the woods to the suburbs, even a little touch of town, you know. And so I was in my backyard just kind of mourning the loss of my former surroundings. And I felt very lonely. I missed the trees. I missed the creek. I missed the sounds of the woods. And so I was sad that day, and when I went outside and saw those flowers, I felt a sense of peace come over me. I felt a sense of reassurance and soothing. I felt a sense of calm. I felt a little greater sense of being at home, in a new place. And so my state shifted from one of loneliness and sorrow and kind of feeling lost to feeling soothed and having a sense of place and calmness, and that I was with, at the time, I don't think I thought this, this is something I thought of later, but that I was with benevolent beings, and that really registered on some level, and it mattered a great deal, and it affected my life tremendously in subtle ways. But I see that as a real starting point, even though at that time I couldn't have articulated much of this except my change in state of mind and mood.
Okay. Now, what are some of the ways that people can use flower essences?
Well, they are primarily used to help us find our center, is the way I like to think of it. In the box system, and the way I was taught within the box system, it's states of mind that are the doorway, disbalanced states of mind are the doorway to any dis-ease or illness. And so any person, through knowledge of their own inner workings or through the process of learning more about them, can make adjustments in that aspect of themselves through the use of flower essences. So, for example, let's say that a person's experience is one of tremendous impatience when faced with a task, their own self-directed task, or working in a group of people, and their tendency is to leap right in there, to interrupt when other people are talking because they're 3 miles down the road, or maybe 10, with their thoughts and ideas, and they want to put it out there, or they want to hurry up and get their task done because, you need to get it done really quickly. They're impatient. Well, impatience can be a valuable quality, but it isn't when you're interrupting people or you get going so quickly in your own process that you're not really being very careful about what you're doing, or you are screwing up. I mean, it isn't going well. So the use of the flower impatience would be to, you would use that flower to address that state of disbalance. So in other words, in using impatience, over time more than likely, because impatience is a pretty powerful force in people, one would begin to notice changes so that you might be able to sit back and listen to others a little bit more. Or you might be able to self-recognize, I'm feeling impatient. Just even that self-recognition. Or I need to slow down because I'm trying to do this too fast and that's what's messing me up here. So that's one way that flowers can be used, which is that to find the center. You know, it's not that you never feel impatient ever again, and it's not that it's not appropriate to sometimes feel impatient, but it is very difficult to be driven by impatience and to have it managing you rather than you being able to recognize and manage your own state and make choices. And the flowers not only stimulate that consciousness, but eventually you get in harmony with that frequency of lack of impatience, or the center within your spectrum of impatience, and thus you function quite differently. So that's one way they can be used. To find the center of any state of disbalance that a human being can have, and there are many. The other way that I've been taught to use flower essences, and that was through my work with the Flower Essence Society, and they work a little differently and a little, in some ways, a little more deliberately, which is to engage in a process of soul development and soul being psyche, if you will. And within that training, one is taught to, in essence, there's a system, and it's a growing and changing one, but looking at people's experience from various levels, so that one meta level might be the experience of being in a physical form and having a physical experience, and what is that like, and what's happening in that person's experience. How do they do that? You know, are they in their body? Do they feel a sense of groundedness with the planet? Do they feed themselves? Do they get enough rest? And so one in that type of flower essence work, and some people refer to it as therapy, one would work with a practitioner to choose flowers that help bring balance in that particular area of one's life. So let's say that someone, they have trouble remembering to eat, and they have trouble having a regular bedtime. Well, the key flower for that kind of work is morning glory. And morning glory begins to work with helping make that adjustment, that physical experience, that knowing that a body does need regular food, and a body needs a fairly regular sleep schedule, or at least to be able to do that if you need to. And so that's another way of working with flowers. And then one would then go on to work with the emotional meta level, and there are seven of them, which I am unable to name off the top of my head, but there's a whole process looking at each of those levels of one's psyche and the process of developing and evolving as a human being, and using flowers as guides, companions, tools to help us be more centered within our own personal set of qualities to feel more balanced and successful. And so this is another actually really key component of working with flower essences, whether you work more responsively to state of mind and centering, and in fact over time there's a whole development of psyche within the Bach approach to using flower essences, or more deliberately looking at and organizing things kind of more from these meta levels, you begin to get alignment as the unique individual being that you are. And that to me is the most amazing, profound aspect of flower essence work, is that it is a system of caring and that addresses each of us uniquely as an individual. I mean, there is an aspect of shared consciousness, but there is this wonderful quality of the flowers speaking to each of us as we are here. And so in that way, we can use them to profoundly know and develop our own life experience here. And that's an amazing way to transform our lives, to bring ourselves into our own alignment, our alignment of body, mind, and spirit. And that's really the foundation of all flower essence work and the goal, which is to be in that alignment of body, mind, and spirit, uniquely and truly who you are, no matter, you know, who that is and what you do.
Now, I just want to take a moment to just mention that if anybody wants to get in touch with you and work with you privately, they can reach you through your email, which is mjf.flower.essences@gmail.com. So that's M as Melinda, J as in June, F as in flower, dot flower, dot essences at gmail.com. But I wanted to, because I was going to ask you this earlier, but we were that would have really changed the tone. You said that Dr. Bach actually went out and started discovering flower essences after after World War I, when the Industrial Revolution the Industrial Age was really coming to fruition in England. And it really stood out to me that was a great time of shift and change and just a lot of stuff going on. So I actually have two questions for you here. Mm-hmm. One is, now that, especially here in the United States, and I don't know how this impacts other countries, you know, it may or may not, I'm sure it does to some degree, but there's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of fear in the world in general, but the United States seems to really be undergoing some change. So the people that I'm working with, I'm seeing them come to me, a lot of anxiety, a lot of adrenal issues, a lot of fear-based issues. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I just want to talk about maybe some flower essences that can address that. But another thing I want to ask is, you know, with everything changing and like the hot topic on the internet, because I don't really watch the news, I just catch like highlights on the internet, it seems to be the healthcare reform that we've got going on here. Mm-hmm. And I personally don't really subscribe into that. I try to use the most natural forms available and use the, you know, the medical field here, you know, for emergency care when it's necessary. But how would flower essences play into that? Because obviously back in Bach's day, he felt that they were playing into it in some way.
Mm-hmm.
How can that play into our time today?
Okay. Well, starting with that, I think the possibilities are incredible. Bach, his thinking, and I actually want to read something because I think he's so profound. And I mean, he's not the first person. He's the first person that I know of and have learned about that worked in the West. I mean, flower essences have been used actually as far back as Aborigines in Australia. So they're not new, but Bach, like you were saying, was looking for answers after World War I and with urbanization coming in. This is what he spoke of. He said, by treating our fears, our cares, our worries, and so on, we not only free ourselves from our illness, but the herbs given unto us by the grace of the Creator of all, in addition, take away our fears and worries and leave us happier and better in ourselves. As the herbs heal our fears, our anxieties, our worries, our faults, and our failings, it is these that we must seek, and then the disease, no matter what it is, will leave us. There is little more to say, for the understanding mind will know all this, and may there be sufficient of those with understanding minds, unhampered by the trend of science, to use these gifts of God for the relief and the blessing of those around them. Thus, behind all disease lie our fears, our anxieties, our greed, our likes and dislikes. Let us seek those out and heal them, and with the healing of them will go the disease from which we suffer. So, and again, what he's saying is that we want to focus on what we want, not what we don't want. And if we take a look at our current health model, everything is directed towards that which we don't want. Take a pill so you don't feel this, or take a pill so you go to sleep, or take, in other words, we're very outwardly focused, and we're very focused on what we don't want, and we're not looking to ourselves either for our answers. I mean, our medical system teaches us to trust the machine or trust us. And truly, I think health and well-being rests upon one's ability to begin to and build trust with one's self. And that, in fact, is the nourishing tradition, which is to be responsive to one's inner knowing and developing that, and I would say feeding that capacity. We all have that capacity. And I think that we're, as a country, not only are we looking for health care and the means to be have it provided, but I think many people are looking for a more solid foundation, if you will, so that you have care that is not intervening when there's a crisis. And there's certainly a place for that. And however, the possibility of flower essences is that you don't have to reach that state, because you, the philosophy being that the doorway to dis-ease comes through the disbalance in one's state of mind and thinking. So that's a very different way of looking at our health, ourselves, and the potential that we each have as individuals to manage our own health, and to look to ourselves as, let's see, what would I say, as a resource that we bring some, each as individuals, we bring something to the table, and that's a good thing. And we're not taught that. We're taught to look out there to that doctor, that medicine, that. So it's not that. And in taking a flower, yes, you can say I am taking something. However, the goal of that process is quite different. The goal is to be more firmly rooted within yourself, within your truth, within your ability to know who you are, to know how you tick, to know what you need to do to take care of yourself, and thus be strong. So that's a very profound, I would say, paradigm shift to something that so much more within and to each of us as bringing some good, having the capacity to manage our own good health. And the implications of that are vast.
So are you working with some people, or do you have any specific flower essences that help people with
fear,
with anxiety and fear,
mm-hmm.
and I know
yeah.
that they spring from so many different origins, and so it may be that you're addressing the origins of the fears and anxieties as opposed to just the generalization, but...
Well, it's more that in flower essence work that you're addressing the quality of fear. What kind of fear is it? Is it a fear of... where you are terrified, a state of terror? Is it a fear of worldly things, illness, pain, accidents, poverty, of dark? In other words, things very specific. Is it a fear of the mind being overstrained, of reason giving away, of being out of control? Is it fear of the unknown? And of course, we can be in one or all of these states, and thus you would choose flowers specifically. So, for example, the flower for very specific fears is mimulus. And mimulus speaks to addressing that state. And aspen is the flower to address the fear of the unknown, not vague, uncomfortable feeling of, oh, worry, or, oh my goodness, what's going to happen next? And you can't define it, but you're pretty sure something could or might happen. So the flowers are chosen by in that method, and there are other flowers that are used for states of fear. So that gives us a start. And also, people can, Bach works with the idea that people have core tendencies. I mean, people might tend to be more fearful, or people might tend to suffer from states of uncertainty, or an insufficient interest in the present, or loneliness. He had seven key qualities, and then flowers that addressed each of those states. And he looked at people as that they might come into the world with a tendency towards fear, too. And that's also something that I would be looking at, or any practitioner would be looking at, is that kind of the underlying way that a person perceives. And there are, for example, a person who might have the core personality tendency of specific fears, and that's just the way they come into the world. They tend to have fear and to be worried about very specific things. They also will indicate their certain body language. People who need mimulus would tend to duck their head when they talk, or they might blush easily. They might be timid in nature. They might tend to pull back, or not, you know, run up to see something new, but they might walk very slowly and cautiously, or they might not walk up at all. And so that if that were the case, and I was seeing that in my interactions with someone, I'd be making mental note, this person may need mimulus as a base flower for a long time, because that's a core tendency that person has. So that's another component in terms of choosing flower essences and addressing fear, so that it might be a temporary changing state, or it might be something that's more fundamental to one's nature.
Now, can they be mixed? Like you were saying, mimulus might be a base flower essence. Can if you're making, like let's say I came to you and I had a couple of different issues and you chose a couple different flowers, can they be blended together so I wouldn't have to get different remedies? Okay.
Mm-hmm. The standard from the Bach Society is maximum seven flowers. Sometimes people will put in nine, but the idea is you don't want to have more than seven, because it's a lot to process and you're doing a lot. It's also very interesting to consider just working with one flower and seeing what that's like. So, yes, in answer to your question, you can mix them.
Now, I want to go back just briefly to, you said that one of the like highlights that he would look for is insufficient interest in the present. That I think that can pretty much go with a lot of people here on the planet. Just, you know, they're so worried about yesterday or what's ahead of them. And just especially in the United States, everybody's plate is so full that they're trying to get through what they're doing now to get to what they're doing next so they can get to the next thing. And nine times out of ten, their mind's like 10
And they're not even in the present.
Right, exactly. So what's like some of the flowers that deal with that, if there are people out there that they just find themselves real flustered that they might be able to go and grab a...
Well, again, it's there's a little kind of going a little deeper, which is that, what is it? Is it that somebody is so much in their mind that they're kind of, and they're overloaded and they're not grounded? They're constantly in their thoughts and ideas and arguments in their head. That would be indicated, white chestnut would be indicated. So that's very specific to kind of being in your head and thinking and not being able to turn off your mind, and you have unpleasant thoughts and you're not really connected with the pleasure of the day. You're not in the moment. So white chestnut might be a flower to work with. Another reason for someone to be overloaded or not being sufficiently interested in the present would be because they're exhausted mentally and physically, and they have no more strength to make effort, and daily life is so hard, and without pleasure, they're just kind of going through the motions. That state is an olive state, and so you'd want to use olive. Sometimes people have depression come over them for no apparent reason. They are just overshadowed with despair. They no longer see the good in life. They can't figure out why that's happening. One would try mustard in that state. Chestnut bud is an interesting flower in that when someone isn't learning from their experiences, and so therefore they're repeating mistakes, the same mistakes again and again, they're not really engaged with themselves and their life and what life is showing them, chestnut bud is a flower that says, wait a minute, wake up, pay attention. And so that flower uses that quality to kind of bring you into the moment, into now, into the present. Another one, some people are very dreamy. You know, they're out the window, they're daydreaming. They have a million thoughts and possibilities. Yet they're no more tuned into what's going on around them than, you know, a dandelion fluff kind of flying along in the wind. And that person would need clematis. That takes a very creative, dreamy, intuitive kind of state and helps that person anchor themselves again into the present, into the here and now. And then again, you were speaking about people who are in the past, who look to the past, whether it's bad or good. In a strange way, the past can call us, and the flower that speaks to that is honeysuckle. That flower helps us come to terms with that which was and helps us find peace here and now. And then one last one is wild rose, which speaks to the state of kind of being resigned or apathetic or, okay, you know, this is how it is. Not going to get any better, might not get any worse. I'm hanging in there. I have things to look forward to, things that I don't. But, you know, nothing's really going to change. That's a wild rose, the rose state. And that person typically isn't complaining. They're just kind of going along. And yet they're missing their joie de vivre, their joy, their connection to their heart and their passion. And so wild rose works to bring us into being present in that way.
And how can you take them? I mean, internally, I mean, how, you know, what's the method?
There are, classically speaking, the way to take a flower essence is, one, you can buy a bottle of a remedy that you think you need off a shelf and take it internally, orally, by dropping the drops, two drops, under your tongue, and doing that at regular intervals throughout the day. And then it can be fine-tuned from there. If you're buying, you want to take a remedy that's a mix of flowers, your method would be to either buy two or three or remedies, get an empty bottle, fill that with spring water, put two drops of each of the flower essences from the tincture bottle that you've purchased at the store, put a preservative in it or not, it depends upon how hot or cold it is, and take that. So you make your mix within that dosage bottle and take that at regular intervals throughout the day. So that's oral. You can also put them in the bath and take a bath in flower essences. It's also possible to use them as a mist. I know that some people make formulas that are put in atomizers so that if you have bronchial problems or asthmatic issues, you can use a remedy, and sometimes along with essential oils, so that you're getting both a sense of smell and inhaling the flowers and receiving it on your skin. You can also add them to body lotions and take them that way and rub them in very specific energy centers or the body or all over. So those are the four ways you can use them.
Because they're not, I mean, they change the vibration of anything. Like, so you could use it in a room. Like, if you've got a room that you mm-hmm. need to shift the vibration of, you can put it in a spray mm-hmm. bottle and spray.
Yep, it's a great tool. One way you can use them to clear a room. You can use them to set a tone for a meeting, for a group gathering of any type. Yes, so you can use them that way too.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, I just happened to notice we only have a couple minutes left. Is there anything that we didn't get to discuss that you want to make sure that our listeners are aware of with the flower essences?
Yeah. I really wanted to talk about one of my favorite flowers, and I think it's a really important flower for people to know about, because it, in a way, it speaks to everything that we've talked about today, particularly our fears in a world where, in our country, where a lot's happening, where there is a lot of technology, a lot of industrialization, a lot of things happening. There's a wonderful flower that comes from the Sierra Nevada area called Splendid Mariposa. And Splendid Mariposa, John Muir writes about that flower, saying it's quite wonderful. Its Latin name is Calochortus splendens. He refers to it as the Calochortus, is a most impressive plant, pure as snow crystal, one of the plant saints that all must love and be made so much the purer by every time it's seen. It puts the roughest mountaineer on his good behavior. And this flower, to me, is really a flower for our times. It's a deeply feminine flower. In fact, it was made in veiled light rather than in bright, direct sunlight. It's the only flower essence I know of that was made that way. And it has a deeply feminine and compassionate resonance that I think of it as she, that she offers. And it speaks to soul alignment with the mother of the world, our capacity to recognize all members of the human race as having one mother, the ability to activate transcendent forces of mothering and mercy for all of the human family. So in other words, she wakes us up to ourselves with kindness, to our brothers and sisters in the world with kindness, to look at events and people that we disagree with some sense of humanity and willingness to
understand where they come from. We may not agree with them, but we can listen. She helps us know that there is a connection between us all, that we all need that, and we have each other to turn to and connect with in times of great stress and change.
What a great flower.
Yeah.
Absolutely beautiful.
Yeah, she's a lily. And lilies are very special in that, in this particular, you know, they have a bulb, so they can nourish themselves. And they're also very feminine in that way. You know, you think of the womb, and that's a source of life. And the other thing is that their petals are so incredibly soft, yet strong. It's like this amazing, I said it, soft strength. To me, that's something that we all need. It's kind of a heart strength, a spirit strength, something that reminds us that we are both tender and we are powerful in our tenderness and in our ability to be kind within and to be kind to those and that which is around us. Because I certainly think of our kindness is needed for both our plant companions and our animal companions, as well as our human companions, and then all the other amazing living beings that we live with, like rocks and soil and all that kind of stuff, too.
Great. So, Melinda, again, people could get in touch with you because you do have a private practice, correct?
I do.
So they can get in touch with you best through your email?
Through my email or also by phone. And
okay. Do you want to give your phone number so they
mm-hmm.
can?
That phone number is 301-649-2469.
Great. And the email address again, is mjf.flower.essences@gmail.com. And that is going to be with Melinda's information on the Honoring Hour. It'll get moved to the archives page. If you've been there, her old email address is there now. This is her new email address, but that will stay permanently in the archives in case there's a problem with you typing it. So please do give her a call because she's a wonderful practitioner. And I'm sorry, did I cut you off with something, Melinda?
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on here today. I know that we just, you know, skimmed the edge of the iceberg here. We can go so much deeper with these flower essences. So thanks for being with us today and talking to us about your subject.
Well, thank you for having me. It was really, really wonderful. I really appreciate it.
Great. And for those of you who are not subscribers to Circle of Self, Melinda is going to be contributing articles there, so you can find her work and information about different flowers. It's www.circleofself.org. If you go on there and sign up, that's the home page, and it can take you to the current newsletter and to also the archives. So she did her first article for the February. No, for the, yeah. Are we in February?
March.
The March newsletter.
We made it to spring.
All of a sudden, it's like, oh, my
yeah.
God, in the March. Yes,
yep.
So the March newsletter. Thank you very much. So, you know, please do sign up. If you're not friends with us on Facebook or you don't follow us on Twitter, we invite you to do so. You can on our main site, www.thehonoringhour.com. And would like to invite you back on April 6th, which is our next show with Kate Mucci. Thank you all very much for being with us today. I am your host, Lynn, and it's been wonderful. Thanks, and we'll see you again in a couple weeks. I'm going to sign off by playing God is in Charge, which is off of Sabina Vinberg's music album, The Bigger Picture.
And I will be all right. when fear overwhelms me, when I seem to fall, I just need to remember where I am coming from. When life is taking over, one madness at a time, getting closer, surrounding my face. I go back to my source for guidance and pray for help. I surrender to that power deep within my soul. I feel comfort and peace and I let go. Yes, I know. When someone attacks me with hate in his eyes, I know he is lost along his way. I step back and remember Christ who showed us the way. I pull out my weapons called compassion and love. Yes, I know God is in charge. Yes, I know God is in control. All I need to do is stay on my path and I will be alright. Yes, I know God is in charge. Yes, I know God is in control.